This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Aero in Friedrichshafen, Germany. I'm with Pat Waddick, COO of Cirrus. Pat, you're giving a presentation here on the jet. I'll ask you some questions about that. But before we do that, let's talk in general about Cirrus's attitude towards the European market. You and I were just chatting briefly. You like the Aero Show, and there's a definite tilt in Cirrus towards the world market, but also European.
Well, absolutely. We've always been excited to come here to Friedrichshafen and Aero. It's a great venue for Cirrus, and I think it's a great venue for aviation. It's a place for, I think, people who are serious about understanding what their options are to come and look and talk and really get the kind of information they need to make good decisions. But I think one of the things that strikes me when I visit Aero is there's an excitement here in Europe. We're Cirrus is very optimistic about Europe and how that connects to Cirrus's growth. And in fact, we're making investments in our sales organization here in Europe with the addition just recently of a regional director for Europe, Adam Hahn. And, all those things talk to the fact that we see an excitement regarding innovation here. And there's obviously a lot of active clubs and pilots, and the community here is very strong. There's a rich history. And I think that that's something that is really going to accelerate in the coming years, and we want to be part of that.
I'll ask you maybe to theorize here. Everyone says that, yet in Europe, regulation is much more difficult than it is in the United States. There's more of it. It's more difficult to do things here, yet you see the innovation, you see the enthusiasm. Why is that?
Well, I think it's there's a passion for aviation here, but you also, there's a great value proposition with General Aviation Europe, because in a short 1 hour, 2 hour flight, you can move to some very different places throughout the area. And I think from a regulatory standpoint, yes, there's been hurdles in the past, and we've worked very closely over time with regulatory authorities. I've always found that people are very, very thoughtful. They are interested in safety, but there's also, I think, a support for trying to simplify things. And just now, I don't fly often in Europe, but talking to people that are using some of the new tools, Rocket Route and other things for IFR flying, they're talking about it in a different way than I've seen in the past. People are excited about some things getting easier. They're enjoying flying within the system, I think, more than they did 10, 15 years ago. And I think while it may be slower than sometimes we as pilots would prefer, as long as, the movement comes along to support us flying the way we'd like to fly and get the utility out of it while still maintaining safety, then I think it's going to support good growth.
Todd Simmons has just joined us, also from Cirrus. Todd, you mentioned something I didn't really realize. Cirrus considers the Aero the spring show for you, and you're introducing, literally you're showing the Generation 5 here for the first time.
That's right. Really reinforcing what Pat said, when we look at the scope, if you will, of the folks that come to Aero, it's not just a European show, but 30 countries, but it's a global show in that regard. And so for us to come here and support, we've had a European business now for easily a decade, almost the entire time Cirrus has been in business. We have a great number of owners here. So to come here and consider this our opening show, it's kind of an easy decision to do, and reinforcing what you've seen here and Pat's seen. The crowds are strong, the enthusiasm is strong, and these facilities are really second to none when we think of air shows. So it very much is our opening show of the year.
We talked earlier about the export market for Cirrus, which you said now is somewhere in the mid-30s to 40% of the airplanes are exported.
Yeah, that's about right. We have seen that vary some. Probably the high mark of our export sales in total has been near 40%. Right now, we're probably closer between 30 and 35, and it does move really month to month. Latin America is very strong. Europe, it really is nominal right now, to be frank. They are coming back, but they're dealing with just a multitude of issues, and we could talk about Italy and Spain and currency and those type things, but the reality is they affect our customers. And so we're beginning to see some growth in Europe, and this show sort of kicking it off. This year certainly looks better than the past few. In total, we expect that number really to get back to 40% overall, but we're a little below that right now.
Pat, you spoke about the JET program here. The JET now is funded through production. Give us a little view of that.
Well, we've really had very strong support from our shareholders, and it's a program that everybody believes in. As you heard, we're making great progress. We've got a lot of big tools coming into our facilities to build assemblies and parts. We've got a growing and great team on that. So there's a lot of excitement around that. And that support, as you noted, takes us through certification. And we've got the production capability at our current facilities and with this tooling to start making airplanes. And I think with the way we're approaching the program, which is to go through the development certification, building the airplanes the same way we will in production will allow us to also accelerate and ramp up production in early 2016, late 2015, pretty efficiently.
You said something that surprised me. You're going to have three conforming certification prototypes to get this certification through in really a little over a year.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, that's not an atypical approach because you need to show compliance across a pretty varied set of regulations from flight and handling to systems, power plant. It allows you to be deploying those test airplanes in different ways, doing this this flight testing simultaneous. So it really is a way to make it a more efficient program. But I think importantly, this is all of these airplanes, but also the JET. It is important that when it hits production, it's a mature design from a reliability standpoint, and having three flying aircrafts allows us to work through that that development pretty effectively so that when we enter production, we have a high reliability on the airplane.
Will Europe be a key part of that JET program as far as sales?
Well, I sure think so. You know, the JET is it's a very spacious, very capable airplane, being able to cruise up to 28,000 feet as fast as 300 knots, carrying anywhere from five to seven people with a couple of jump seats in the back. And looking at the European market, where typically it's relatively short hops, and the airplane can either be loaded with a big cabin full of people for shorter hops, or you can go longer, up to 1,000, 1,200 nautical miles with a smaller payload in the cabin. So there's a lot of flexibility there, and I think Europe is going to be a perfect place for it.
Well, good luck with it, and thanks for the briefing, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
It's Paul Bertarelli reporting from Aero 2013. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.